أشهد أن محمد رسول الله.
السلام عليكم. I welcome you all to Islam in Focus. This is a three-month program on the series of Sources of Islam. To be more specific, it is the eighth on the authenticity of the Quran. I'm your host, Rashad Nanish, and here again, Dr. Jamal Bakari from St. Mary's University. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Jamal.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Maybe we can start with a summary of last week's program.
Okay. Last week's program dealt mainly with one essential question. That is there any possibility that any portion of the Quran was ever lost or forgotten by the Prophet? We examined that in terms of the internal evidence, and we have seen that in more than one reference in the Quran, including 15:9, there is a clear promise, divine promise, to preserve the Quran from loss. To remove any question or doubt about internal evidence, we also discussed the two verses in the Quran which refer to the term nasya, or forget, or its derivatives as it relates to the Quran. And by analyzing them carefully, it was quite clear that neither of them refer to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, forgetting any portion of the Quran before it was promulgated or communicated to people. And that any possibility of minor forgetfulness on the part of the Prophet of a few passages was definitely after the Quran has been communicated to others, and as we said in previous programs, both by memorization and by writing. It was even clear from the incident narrated in Bukhari and Muslim, when the Prophet remembered a few passages that he forgot when he heard a man reciting them in the mosque, that this itself is a proof that the Prophet might have forgotten those passages only after the Quran was communicated, or else how could that man know or recite this unless it was already recited before? What was more important actually also is the annual revision, you might say, where Angel Gabriel, the angel of revelation, came to the Prophet to review with him what has been revealed to the Quran up to that point, and that this review took place twice even in the final years of the life of the Prophet, and in the presence of people who are like the most prominent memorizers and companions. So it wasn't, you know, something even secretive or limited. And towards the end of the program, we discussed also what I called more or less the political sectarian type of claims that are sometimes made, that the Quran used to contain evidence of the rights of the cousin of the Prophet Ali, he and his descendants, to be the exclusive rulers of Muslims forever, as was mentioned, for example, in the book called Al-Kafi. And we tried to indicate that this kind of claims are totally baseless, there is complete lack of evidence, and it's just totally untenable.
Could you possibly give us a brief idea about the reference that you just cited?
Al-Kafi, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, the exact title of it is called Al-Usul Min Al-Kafi. I think we have a kind of xerox of one of the prints of that book. And the author is called Abi Ja'far Al-Kulaini, who died in the year 328 of Hijrah, that is the migration of the Prophet. That would be approximately around the middle of the 10th century in the Common Era. That book is regarded by the Shiite as perhaps the most important source of hadith or tradition. And by the way, when they use the word hadith or tradition, they refer not only to the saying of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, but also the sayings of their imams. They put them on equal footing. They both are regarded by them as hadith. So in a way, the book, that book is called or regarded almost in the same status, but not exactly, almost the same status like Bukhari, for example, collection of prophetic saying among the so-called Sunni Muslims. The importance of that book for Shiite understanding, of course, is indisputable. It has been printed several times. The print that was just shown was published in the year 1388 of migration, which would be about 1968 in our common era, in Tehran, that is in Iran, by a publisher called Darul Kutub al-Islamiyya. It is this same reference, in fact, that we made a quick mention of last time, in which it is claimed that there was a mushaf or leaves of Fatima, which is three times as big as the present Quran, but does not have any single word of the Quran that we have today. The reference was specifically to volume 1 on page 239 of that print.
Now, you mentioned the mushaf or the leaves of Fatima. Maybe you could explain to us exactly what this is according to the Shia.
According to the Shia belief.
Yeah.
Well, we can refer again to the same reference. In that same reference called Al-Kafi that we have shown previously, on page 214, it is claimed there that when Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, died, his daughter Fatima was very, very grieved. So God sent her, it is claimed, an angel to soothe her and talk to her, that she mentioned that to Ali, her husband, who was also the cousin of the Prophet. So he told her, whenever you feel that, that is the presence of the angel, and you hear the sound, tell me. So she told him about that, and he started to write down what the angel was saying and put that together in leaves or mushaf. He mentioned that it was mentioned by the narrator that this mushaf or leaves did not contain any aspect of law like the forbidden and the permissible, but it said it contained the knowledge of what will happen, that is, like prophecies in the future. Well, if you look at that particular narration which was just shown in the original print of the version, that's, I just give the translation more or less, or summary, seems to indicate that Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet, peace be upon him, received the revelation after the Prophet, as if to complete and supplement the revelation given to him. And obviously, if we were to comment on that, it is contrary to what the Quran itself say, especially in chapter 5 in verse 4, in which God says that today the religion has been perfected and completed. It is also contrary to the fact that in the Quran itself, as well as in many of the saying of the Prophet, the revelation given to the Prophet during his lifetime, there have been a large number of prophecies that were mentioned, and we have discussed some of these in detail in the portion of the series dealing with the authority of the Quran. For that reason, we find that Muslims uphold the belief that no human being after Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, received divine revelation, including even the member of his own household. In the page that was shown, the same page that was shown next to that citation, it is also claimed that the a'imma, the imams, that is the descendants of Ali, possess a document which contains the Psalms of David, the Torah of Moses, the Gospel or Injil of Jesus, the leaves of Abraham, the laws of the forbidden and the permissible, and the mushaf or leaves of Fatima. And then there is an addition said there that there is no claim that it contains Quran. That's why perhaps it might be useful here to comment on the term mushaf. Well, literally speaking, the term mushaf means leaves, does not necessarily mean, literally speaking, the Quran. But on the other hand, as an Islamic terminology, the term mushaf has always been used to refer to the Quran in particular, Revelation, the Holy Book. And many times it's used actually interchangeably with the Quran. But in any case, regardless of what exactly was meant by the mushaf of Fatima, or the leaves of Fatima, the basic point here is that in this major source of Shiite thinking, Al-Kafi, the claim is made there without any substantive evidence at all that the Quran that we have today is not really complete because it does not contain this claimed portions. And this is a matter which is definitely contrary to the unanimity of Muslims and even the witness of many fair researchers among non-Muslims even. This kind of claimed document is not the only reference, in fact, that we find in Shiite books pertaining to the completeness of the Quran. And mind you, as we mentioned in a previous program, any person who believes that there is a different Quran or that the Quran that we have today is not complete or have been tampered with in any way, aside from being contrary to all internal and external evidence, cannot be regarded really as a Muslim. One cannot remain a Muslim while upholding this kind of ideas.
Maybe we should elaborate on this a little bit. Now, you just said that there are other references in the Shia sources relating to the Quran.
Yes.
Now, are any of these references actually limited to the leaves of Fatima, the Musaf of Fatima?
No, not necessarily. Let me give you, a couple of other references, okay, which is not necessarily, as you said, limited to the leaves of Fatima. For example, in the same reference, Al-Kafi, that we cited before, in volume 1, page 228, this is my more or less translation as much as I could, it says that anyone who claim to have collected the whole Quran as revealed is but a liar. No one collected and preserved it, that is, preserved and understood it, as Allah Most High revealed, except Ali, son of Abi Talib, that is the cousin of the Prophet, and the Imams or his descendants after him. That statement is mentioned there quite clearly. The one even after that, another claimed hadith, they say, that is an attribution to one of their Imams. It says, again, quote in my translation, no one can claim that he has the entire Quran, the evident, that is the evident meaning, and the hidden, that is hidden meaning, except the awsiya. Awsiya means basically like the guardians, a term which is usually used by the Shiite to refer to Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, and his descendants or the Imams. There are also numerous other examples which shows the same kind of basic claim that they have been a systematic attempt, contrary to all evidence that we have seen, that there have been a systematic attempt to drop portions of the Quran or small parts or words that used to contain evidence of the political claim made by the Shiite that only Ali and the Imams or his descendants were the only qualified rulers of Muslims.
Well, maybe Akhtar Jamal, you can give us a few examples of specific passages where the claim of actually dropping words is made.
Okay, well, again, to refer to their main source, Al-Kafi, on page 176, there is a reference to a verse that we have today in the Quran, which appears today in chapter 22, more specifically, it's verse 52.
Mm-hmm.
The one that we have in the Quran, which is again has been confirmed and preserved, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ وَلَا نَبِيٍّ. We have not sent any messenger or prophet before you, O Muhammad. In the way this verse is quoted in Al-Kafi, it says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ وَلَا نَبِيٍّ وَلَا مُحَدَّثٍ. We have not sent anyone before you, O Muhammad, messenger, prophet, or Muhaddath, which is again a term that is used to refer to the Imams or the, the descendants of the Prophet. In another print or edition of the same book, volume 1 on page 414, we find again a similar claim of a few words dropped, claimed to have been dropped from the Quran. That is in reference to chapter 33, verse 71 in the Quran, which again in the original Quran it says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا, which means whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, indeed he has achieved a great, you know, reward or a great success. And the claim is made again that the original was not like that. It says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فِي وُلَايَةِ عَلِيٍّ وَالْأَئِمَّةِ بَعْدَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا, which means whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger in accepting the guardianship of Ali and the Imams after him, he has achieved success. So the claim is that this evidence was suppressed to reject the notion that only Ali and his descendants should have ruled the Muslim. In chapter 26, in verse 227, again in the authentic Quran, it says, وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يُنْقَلِبُونَ, those who have transgressed will know what kind of return they will have, a kind of threat. Again, the claim is made that there was something dropped in the middle, which means وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا آلَ مُحَمَّدٍ حَقَّهُمْ, those who transgressed and took away the rights of the descendants of Prophet Muhammad, that is, those who accepted to be rulers when people elected them, that is, before Ali was chosen, that these people will be punished. Another example also that appeared in a book called Fasl al-Khitab, we'll come to that a little later, on page 180, in a surah in the Quran called Ash-Sharh, in which Allah gives or recounts His bounties on Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, haven't we expanded your chest, or opened your heart, and so on. And they said, no, one verse was dropped from that. That is one of those blessings saying, وَجَعَلْنَا عَلِيًّا سَهْرَكَ, and we made Ali your son-in-law. It is interesting to notice here, by way of commentary, that the insertion here is quite clearly political, really, because it is well known that if anybody had the honor to be related to the Prophet, it is the other way around. In other words, the great honor to be given to Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, is that he was the son-in-law of the great man, Prophet Muhammad. But to say that one of the blessing of Muhammad, that his Ali became his, it sounds like, a sort of reverse logic. So that's why, we said before that this is basically a sort of political insertion, really sectarian, but doesn't have any evidence at all, part of the Quran. And in addition to the two references made, that is Al-Kafi and the Fasl al-Khitab, in other books like Tafsir al-Qummi, a commentary on the Quran, for example, on Tafsir al-Safi, other Shiite references, similar kind of claims are made. Let me add just one thing, since at least I happen to have some knowledge of the Arabic language, that anyone with the slightest knowledge of Arabic will know and easily can distinguish how absurd, the sound, literally speaking, of these claimed verses with the kind of claimed parts that were dropped. It doesn't make any sense at all from the standpoint of the literal beauty and the nature and the flow of the Quran.
Could you tell us a bit more about that chapter? I think it's maybe more about the details as to exactly what's in it.
Well, there's more than one chapter, not just the claimed dropping of a few words here and there, because these are, somebody might say these are just like one word or two words. But more seriously, even that there is a claim of one chapter at least, there's mention of another one also, a short one composed of seven verses that is claimed has been dropped from the Quran. And that is known as the chapter or surah of Al-Wilaya. Here is a Xerox copy of that. And it referred to the same political view of Shiite, and that is only Ali and his descendants should have been the permanent and exclusive rulers of Muslims throughout history, and warning anyone who does not accept that particular view. This particular chapter was referred to by many writers, Shiite writers, including At-Tabrasi, who was a very famous Shiite. He wrote that around 1881, and that appears also, or was quoted by the famous German Orientalist Noel Decay in his History of the Copies of the Quran in Volume 2, page 102. It appeared also in a French journal called Asiatique in 1842, from pages 431 on. I know that the picture shown shows the chapters in Arabic with some translation in Persian underneath. So maybe I'll just give you my English translation as part of it. Yeah. It would be quite interesting. It says, "O you who believe in the Prophet and the Guardian or Wali, which we sent both." In other words, equating the Prophet with Ali, "which we sent both, guiding you to a straight path, a prophet and a guardian or wali, preceding one of the other, and I am the knower, the aware. Verily, for those who fulfill the covenant of Allah are the guardians of felicity, and those on whom our signs are recited, they reject them. For them is the hellfire, in the hellfire is a great abode, when it is called unto them in the day of judgment, where are the transgressors, the rejectors of the messengers." Again, like I say, if you go back, let alone the, you know, the English version, if you go back to the one that was shown, the Arabic version of it, it doesn't make any sense at all in terms of literal meaning. It reminds me with the claimed Quran of Musaylama. You know, there was a false prophet after Prophet Muhammad, actually during his lifetime. It's called Musaylama, the liar. And he tried to imitate the Quran by taking some small parts from the Quran here and there and patched them, and it came up something very laughable and very funny. And anyone, again, with taste of Arabic can read it and judge for himself. The other chapter I mentioned, I said there's at least two that has been mentioned, is called the chapter of An-Nurain, the two lights. And we made a very quick reference to that in the previous program. An-Nurain, by the way, is a title that is referred to you or used to refer to Prophet Muhammad and Ali. But it's interesting to notice that this term has not appeared until the 13th century of Hijrah. That is nearly, you know, over 600 years, I should say, after the death of Prophet Muhammad and after the Quran has been completely revealed, which again shows the kind of, you know, fabrication. That was published again by an Orientalist by the name of Garcin, G-A-R-C-I-N de Tassi, T-A-S-S-Y, under the title An Unknown Chapter of the Quran. Again, in neither of these do we find any shred of evidence, internal or external for that matter, historical, that stands against the overwhelming evidence discussed in several programs, showing that there is no word of the Quran that was dropped, and that there were many watchdogs, if you will. Everybody, lots of people memorized the Quran, it was written down, and it's obvious that these claims are truly sectarian, political in nature, that emerged long time after the completion of the revelation of the Quran, and only after this dispute took place, you know, about who should be the ruler of or leader of the Muslim community.
Now, obviously, some of this is very disturbing. To the best of your knowledge, these views about the Quran, are they common amongst the Shia today?
The answer to that question in a conclusive way is difficult for two reasons. One is that the matter of belief is something which is basically in the heart, unless the person, of course, come forward and state clearly, like the references mentioned, for example. But even if a person say that in public, say he or she believes that the Quran is the same as being revealed to the Prophet, one also find that this problem is not resolved totally, because in Shiite thinking and theology, as is found in Al-Kafi, their main reference, and the writing of many other of their leaders, especially contemporary leaders, there is a concept called At-Taqiyya, which means that you could reveal something different from what you believe under certain circumstances. But we'll leave aside the judging the intention and motives and just look at some of the clear indicators that may help find an answer to this question. I'm not claiming I know the answer fully. But it is fair to say that they have been, or we encounter from time to time, some Shiite who clearly and forcefully deny that they believe in any other Quran other than the Quran that has been unanimously accepted by all Muslims. In fact, even some of their scholars have said that, as quoted by Dr. Draz in an interesting article called Initiation into the Holy Quran, published in the Islamic Review and Arab Affairs in Woking, England, in January of 69, in which again one of their leaders is quoted there as totally rejecting this notion that there is any different Quran. However, it is interesting to notice that one of their major scholars, Shia scholar, by the name of At-Tabrasi, wrote in the year 1289, which approximately would be in the common era, 1878, a book which he called Fasl al-Khitab fi Ithbat Tahrif Kitab Rabb al-Arbab. Translation of the title is The Final Word in Proving the Alteration of the Book of the Lord of Lords, that is the Quran. And it contained hundreds of texts quoted from Shiite scholars in so many different points of history, so many different decades, who carried this idea. After that book appeared, some of the Shiite scholars replied to him and tried to reject what he said. But in explaining this action on those who tried to reject that book, some writers, I'm only reporting, some writers believe that this was only an application of this concept of taqiyya, or hiding, that they were disturbed that this book, if published on a large scale, might awaken many Muslims to the real nature of the Shiite beliefs. However, only God knows. All I can say that in the present time, to come to your question, perhaps the most prominent Shiite leader, in his book called Al-Hukuma Al-Islamiyya, or Islamic Government, in the Arabic version that I have here, on page 72, he praises Al-Kafi that we cited before, and he says that it contains the ahkam, or the rules of the religion. And we have mentioned before that it is the same Kafi that this leader praises, which contain these claims of the alteration of the Quran.
Is there any attempt by the Shia leaders today to clarify the situation and better clarify how they feel about the whole matter?
I certainly hope they do, for two reasons. The matter is very serious, because it's not the question of difference in jurisprudence or how to make ablution, but something which determine whether a person is a Muslim or not. It relates to the Quran, the Book of Allah. We hear a lot these days calls for unity of Muslims, which is very good. But obviously you can't have unity between belief and unbelief in the Book of Allah. So the issue must be clarified very clearly. And I think somebody among the Shiite leaders, the ball is in their court really, should come forward courageously and honestly and in public condemn this polemical writings of the past, stated clearly to us and to their followers as well, that the Quran is the same, and that they accept what all Muslims accept as the source of revelation and inspiration to all Muslims. I'm certainly waiting for that, and I'm eager to hear that statement.
Inshallah, we await the clarification. Okay, thank you very much, Rafi Jamal. I thank you all for joining us today, and hope to see you here next week and every other week. So I will bid you goodbye. Assalamu alaikum from Islam in Focus.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله.